Today, we're starting a new sermon series called Doing Life Together. So throughout this series, we will be promoting our life groups, but we're also going to be talking about what it means to live life with healthy, abundant relationships. You see, all through creation, all through reading God's Word, from the beginning of creation all through it, Genesis to Revelation, the importance of relationships is woven all throughout the Bible. And that's some of the things that we're going to look at. You know, because isn't there something comforting to having a good friend? Isn't there something comforting in knowing that you've got people in your lives that you can count on? That you can shoot a text to and just say, hey, I need some help. Can you pray for me today? I've got friends in my life like that. I can shoot a text out to Nathan Flieger and say, I got something coming up. Can you pray for me? And he's on it. I've got other people that can shoot texts to me. We pray for people. We pray for one another. And it's comforting to know, because God created us to be in relationships with people. But let's face it. Sustaining good, healthy relationships takes effort. It can be hard work. I mean, for instance, how many times have the expectations that you've set on people, have those around you fallen short of those expectations? And you're like, man, come on, not this again. It takes work to sustain and keep those relationships going. Sometimes we get offended. Something is said, somebody rubs us the wrong way, somebody does or doesn't do something, and we're like, you know what? I am keeping them at a distance now. I'm not going to let them into my life anymore. And then what happens is we end up going down this path where another person does that, and then another person does that. And then we build a wall, and we will not let anybody into our lives. And so that's what we're going to explore throughout this series. What I want to encourage you, and what I want to just keep thinking, if you're somebody that's like, I'm not doing it. I've been hurt too many times. I've been praying for people in that category, because I encourage you to start letting that wall down. Bring it down, because we were created for relationship. And that's what we're going to find out today. You know, today we're going to look at the high value that God places on relationships. And we're going to look at a passage from the Gospel of Mark. But before we do, we're going to set it up. So Mark chapter 12, you can go ahead and start getting there. And prior to this passage, we're going to read about the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders. They were trying to catch Jesus with some theological questions. They were trying to trip him up. They wanted to give him some gotcha questions. And there was three groups of people. There was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then there was the scribes that were in there. And each of them had a question for him. Well, then it comes in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. It says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Remember, in the Old Testament days, the people had to bring sacrifices to the temple for worship to God. Now, when Jesus saw that, he answered wisely. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. and this is my favorite line right here. But after that, no one dared ask him a question. So you had these high up, pious religious leaders trying to catch him in some theological stuff. Now, I like to put myself in the setting. I don't think this was just a conversation between a few guys and Jesus. I think his disciples were there. This is just me. I just like to kind of bring the story to life a little bit, but I'm thinking crowds were growing as each question was being asked. And then Jesus answers this one like this. And Mark says, man, after that, nobody asked him a question. Nobody asked Jesus a question after that. You know, Jesus gave a very simple answer to the scribe. He said, the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I don't think he just said that like, well, you should love the Lord your God. I think he put some emphasis to it. And when I read that, I'm thinking, yes, I can do that. I know what God has done for me, and I'm with you, man. I love you, God, with my very being. Everything you've done for me, I am so thankful for. I love you. And then Jesus says, but the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, now it's kind of like, I wonder how many people kind of gloss over that one, right? Because we've been hurt. We've got people in our lives. We got Grumpy Joe at work who can't say good morning till he gets his coffee in him. We've got, you know, people in our lives that are just like, bah, humbugs. I'm not loving my neighbor. And by the way, your neighbor is more than just those people in this building. Your neighbor is everybody you come in contact with. All of creation is your neighbor. So, again, your neighbor is not just those in your family or those in your close circle of friends. It's everybody. This is a very powerful statement that Jesus is making about relationships. And it's the high value that God puts on them. See, Jesus basically just said, there is nothing more important than loving God and loving people. Loving God and loving his creation. The two cannot be separated. You cannot say, God, I love you with everything I've got. Thank you so much for saving my life and giving me everything that I have. But I can't love this person. I can't love that one. I can't love that one. You can't separate the two. You can't. Jesus put those, because, did you catch what Jesus said? He said, and the second one like it is this. That to me is saying, this second one is just like the first one. You got to love God with everything you've got, and you've got to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. You see, loving God and loving people is the same thing according to God. He created us. He looks at each one of us and he says, you are special. You are unique. I made you like this. I made you like that. And I love you. And if we love God the way we say we do, we have to love his creation the way he loves us. That's what this is getting down to. You see, again, from the very beginning, from Genesis to the end, from the very beginning of creation, relationship was there. God created mankind. God created Adam, the very first man, so that he could have someone to hang out with. I don't know if God was up there just like, well, I'm feeling a little lonely. I'm gonna create a man to have some fun with. I don't know. I don't know. But God created man. And he spent time with Adam in the garden from the very beginning. But then God said in Genesis, in the very beginning, first chapter, he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. And so he created the woman, Eve. And the Bible says, male and female, he created them, and the two shall become one. When a man and a woman become married, that union before God is special, and the two become one. So from the very beginning, relationships were there. If a person lives their life and misses out on healthy relationships, They are missing out on the very reason God created them for. God created us to be in relationship with people. And it all starts with a healthy relationship with God. The main reason that Jesus came to this earth was to reveal to mankind who God is. Remember, that scribe said, "You're right. Everything you just said is more than all the burnt offerings." In the Old Testament days, there were offerings that they had to bring to the temple for different things, because there was a separation between God and mankind. And there were priests and prophets that God set in the Old Testament that he used to get his message across. And Jesus came down and said, "It's a new day." And he bridges that gap between mankind and God. And Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And when somebody reaches out to him and says, "I need you in my life," Jesus says, "Come on in. The Father wants to enjoy time with you and spend life with you and make you a new person." Jesus came to this earth to reveal to mankind the unconditional love that God has for his creation. The Father in heaven wants nothing more than to spend time with his creation, us. And when I think about stuff like this, my mind goes off to the most despicable person I know, right? And God loves them just as much as he loves me. And we have to get that settled in our hearts. He was a religious leader, but they were also lawyers, but they spent their time writing down the old scriptures. One of their jobs was to preserve the Old Testament scriptures. So he knew the word. But when he asked Jesus this question, he was in a place that many people find themselves in. Basically, he wanted to know, how do I please God? How do I get to a place where the scales will tip in my favor so God is happy with what I'm doing in life? And Jesus basically said, "It's a new day." But many times, we find ourselves in that same position, right? My bad deeds are outweighing my good deeds, so I don't know if I'm finding favor with God. You know, in the Old Testament, the religious leaders had found 613 commandments, the do's and the don'ts. And you can Google this. There were two, where do you think these sermons come from? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. There were 248 do's, positive, and 365 do nots. Negative. That's more do nots than there are do's. So, man, you have really got to be on your toes to keep those scales tipped in your favor. And that's where this guy was at. How many of us can keep in mind 613 commandments on a day-to-day basis? I mean, you drive yourself crazy. You would be afraid to even mess up. And I think it gets to the point to where it's like, well, then what's the point? I'm not even going to try anymore. I can't do this. And we think we're better off, but we're really not. And maybe you're here today because you fall in that category. Maybe you've had a rotten week or maybe a rotten month and you haven't been to church for a while and you're thinking, man, I got to get in church because I need a couple extra positive points to tip the scales in my favor. Maybe if I come to church and sing a couple songs and shake a few hands, God will find a little more favor with me. Well, here's the good news about that. All the bad deeds on this earth, all the bad deeds we can do, cannot outweigh the unconditional love our Father in heaven has for us. All the bad things you have done will never make God say, I don't want to be with you. You see, what happens is we end up walking away from God. And he's saying, listen to me. He is putting people into our lives. He is trying to speak directly to us. He is doing everything he can to get our attention. And we can't hear it because we got all this sinful behavior going on. Rotten stuff in our minds and worry and anxiety and stuff. But when we turn and say, I need you, the Father's arms are open wide. And you know what he says? I don't care what you've done. I don't care. I'm so happy you've heard my voice and you responded. And that's what Jesus came to this earth for. Once we find a good, healthy relationship with God, all that other stuff falls into place. We end up reading the Bible and we figure out, you know, how we're supposed to act and how God wants us to act. And we find out a little more about the heart of God and how he acts. And we get closer and closer to him and everything begins to fall in place. Listen, if you love God first and you love your neighbor as yourself, everything will fall into place. And that's what Jesus was telling this guy, the scribe. He says, you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. Just love God and love people. And so again, if you struggle with that, with the scales needing to be tipped in your favor, listen to what Ephesians chapter 2 says. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, dead in our sinful nature, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It is God's grace and God's mercy that says, get in here. Let me love on you. I want you to experience the love I have for you. And if you want to have good, healthy relationships with people, you got to have a healthy relationship with God. The two go hand in hand. And it's out of the love that God has for us that will create within us a love for people around us. Because you begin experiencing the unconditional love. You mess up and you're like, oh God, I'm so sorry. And he's like, that's okay. We got this. I'll see you through it. I'll love you through it. And we begin to experience that love, and that love he pours into us should just kind of ooze out of us to other people around us. So here's the other thing. When we do start reading the word and we get in there and we're like, it becomes alive. You know, I like to read books, but I can't read a book more than once. Because I've already read it. But this one here, I read over and over and over because it is alive. It teaches me the heart of God and how to treat other people and how God wants me to live. And he speaks to me through that. There's something different about this living, breathing word. But Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Again, that tells me, man, I love how Jesus takes care of me. And when I mess up, you know, if I have to go to a person to make amends, I'll do that. Or if it's just something I messed up on, or I need some help, I'm like, all right, God. You don't have to raise your hand, guys, but how many of you worked on home projects? And right when you're done, you're like, okay, God, please keep this together. I do. I'm like, hold it together, you know. Because when I'm doing things like that, I'm involving Jesus in. I'm talking to him. I'm inviting him into my life because that's what he wants. You can't have a good, healthy relationship with God if you don't ask him in and walk through day-to-day routine without him. Say, come on, Lord, let's go. We're going to work today. Is there something you would like me to do? Is there somebody you would like me to pay attention to today? Man, if you live your life like that, you are going to live in an adventurous life because he's going to show up. He will show up, I promise you. So, you know, what Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. See, only in Christ Jesus can the purpose of creation be achieved. Only when we find our identity in Jesus, can the purpose of why we are created be achieved. Because healthy relationship with others is the evidence of a healthy relationship with God. Our relationship with God mirrors our relationships with people. I'm just let that sink in for a little bit. Our relationship with God mirrors our relationships with people. If we don't have a healthy relationship with our Creator, don't be surprised because you don't have healthy relationships with people. And let's face it, we've all been hurt. I don't think anybody in here can say, I have lived my life up to this point and nobody has done anything that's rubbed me the wrong way. We're human beings. You know, Jesus refers to us as sheep. And sheep aren't the smartest of animals, but they know their shepherd and they hear his voice. We mess up. We say things that hurt people's feelings. We have bad days and we lash out and we people get hurt. People's feelings get hurt. And some of the hurts are, they're not so deep. They're superficial, but they still hurt. But some of them are deep. And I get that. I don't want to kind of gloss over that. Some of them are very legitimate and it's like, oh, boy, I really wish that was never done to you. But only Jesus can bring the healing that you need. And my advice is, don't let those hurts rule your life. Give them to God, because he wants to take them and he wants to heal those hurts. And the thing is, we have to have people in our lives. We have to have people in our lives that we can open up to, that we can share things with when we're hurting, when we're down, when bad things come our way. Because when you're living in isolation and you need somebody, guess what? You don't have anybody. But when you allow yourself to be vulnerable to other people, and it's risky, and you got to put yourself out there, and people are going to rub you the wrong way, and they're going to say things, but you got to just keep, don't let it rule who you are. Don't let it run your life. Because the other thing too is, when you have people in your life that you can share things with, when you have good things that happen too, let's say you are living your life in isolation and a good thing happens. You're all by yourself. What I'm going to do is I'm going to post a nice selfie and put it on social media so everybody looks and thinks that my life is going well when it's not. But pictures, right? We can make our lives look better than they are. This is what gives meaning to being a part of a life group. You got to put yourself out there. You got to take a risk. You got to become vulnerable. You got to be a little transparent. You got to let people in. And also, we are people. We are complicated beings. We've got all kinds of stuff going on and friction. We may cause friction with others. Others may cause friction with us. But if we get it into our hearts how much Jesus loves us, then we should be able to extend that same kind of grace to others. And here's just Galatians chapter 5. I wanted to quote this one. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But look what it says. If you devour one another, beware lest you become consumed by one another. So I've made it a point years ago in my life, I am not going to allow the friction or the hurts or the things that people say, I'm not going to allow them to rule my life. I will always give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're just having a bad day. Or maybe, here's the other thing too. When you allow yourself to be open to people and when you love people the same way God loves you, you get a little bit of a glimpse of what may be going on with somebody. Give them a pass. Maybe they're just having a bad day. Maybe life is terrible for them right now. Give them a pass. Just don't worry about it. Don't let the friction of other people rule your life. And I'm telling you, when you get this settled in your heart, you will have healthier relationships with people. And you know also what kind of happens is, people will start coming to you as when they're hurting. They're going to be like, well, you know, I'm going to go to this person because they always seem to be in a good mood. They always seem to be, you know, whatever. And they're a believer in Jesus, and there's something about them. Stuff doesn't get under their skin. Why is that? Because you've got it settled in your heart that you will love others as Jesus has loved you. Give people passes. Because life is tough, life is complicated, people are difficult. And if somebody's having a bad time in life and they lash out at you for something and then you lash back out at them, guess what? You're just telling them that they shouldn't open up to other people anyways, and whatever's going on in their life should keep on going on. But if they lash out at you and you're like, I'm not going to worry about it, I'm just going to let go, you can love on them. And they might open up to you and you can pray for them and all of that good stuff. So the unconditional love for others that Jesus has for us, we need to extend to others. Amen? All right, so in closing, being a part of a life group is a good way to develop healthy relationships. You know, we meet twice a month, and some of our best friends, Kim, our best friends, we meet, we hang out, we have food together, we learn about the word, we talk, we pray, we have people that can support us, and we can support them. Healthy relationships, life groups. And then developing healthy relationships, it's a lifelong commitment. But it's also an adventure. And it's worth it. I promise you. No matter who or what is important to us, the most important thing to have is to have a good, healthy relationship with God. Jesus said, you put him first. You love him with everything you've got. Man, if you start doing that, you will begin to love others as well. And make it a point to focus on the good things he's done for you. Receive the love he has to offer, and then give it back. Give it back to him and let it flow through you and out to others. Don't get caught up on the friction of what's going on with people. And by doing this, it will help us understand the importance of loving others in the same manner that Jesus loves us. Because every single person in this room and that you come in contact with is created in the image of God. And the way we treat people is the way we treat Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you, Jesus, that only in you can the reason we were created be achieved. And I pray for people who may have a difficult time with, who have had bad experiences with relationships. I ask, Lord God, that as we enter into a time of music and songs, God, that you would be able to just speak to us, God. Wash those hurts away. Bring healing to those scars, God, and those cuts. I just got a picture of God putting a Band-Aid on some people. And that by the time you leave here today, that Band-Aid will come off and the scars and the hurts and the cuts will be gone. God, I bless that, Lord Jesus. I bless what you have for us today. And that moving forward into this series, you can help us understand the importance of relationships and the value that you place on them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so at this time, we'll have our ushers come forward. We'll take our offering. We talk about relationships, and man, can that hit some spots with people, right? Because we've all been there. We've all been hurt. We've all been just crushed by people. People can be mean. There's no doubt about it. But how do we get past that? How do we melt mean people? There's only one way to do it. You have to love on them. And so what I'm about to ask is, if you are somebody who's been hurt and you're like, man, I don't know. I love God with all my heart, but people have hurt me. There are band-aids that need to be ripped off, because when you rip it off, the healing process will begin. You've kept that band-aid on there for so long that there's no oxygen and air getting into the cut, and it's not healing. And so if you want healing with relationships, today is the day. Just show me where you're at. I will pray for you. God wants to heal those who have been hurt with relationships. There's a hand in the back. Amen. Show me your hands. A hand over here. Amen. Who else? Anybody else? All kinds of hands. Come on. This can't be a few people. Over here. Today is the day God wants to heal those hurts. Because I see all your hands. God sees those hands. God, I bless us. And what you're doing by putting your hand up is you're saying, no more are these hurts going to rule my life. I want to be able to love others the way Jesus loves me. And we can't do it if we keep that cut, that hurt from getting healed. So Jesus, I pray for all these hands that are up right now. God, I pray for each individual, and I pray for each circumstance. God, that you would begin the healing process right now. God, that as we're in this sermon series about relationships, God, that people would realize you are a healing Father who loves us and cares for us more than anything. And I bless that. I bless the healing that you're bringing in each one of these lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo. And then one more. You know, we talk about relationship, getting into a relationship with God. And if you're here today and you're thinking, I don't really know what that relationship is about, you know, and maybe you're thinking, I need to start that relationship. Listen, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so that I can see where you're at, and we will pray with you. But if you say today, I want to start a relationship with Jesus, I say to you, the better life is ahead of you. The stuff in the past will be behind you, and the adventure and the goodness that God has for you lies ahead. So is there anybody here that says, today I want to start fresh. I want to start new. I want Jesus to be in my life. There's a hand over here. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Anybody else in here today? Right. Amen. Good for you. Good for you. Anybody else? Don't hold back. This is the day that God wants to see you new. He wants to make you new. You know, before I put my faith in Jesus, I was downtrodden. I thought I had it all together, but I didn't. Jesus can help you in life. Anybody else today? Anybody else? I see your hand. Thank you, sister. And over here and in the back. Amen. All right, well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray a simple prayer. Church is going to pray with us. And those of you that raised your hand, we will have people back there at the next step table. We've got a little booklet for you that can help you with this, and they are ready to pray for you as well. And also, if you raised your hand for healing and relationship, or you need prayer for anything else, go back to that next step table. We've got people that are, I mean, they've been waiting all week to come here and help people in life. And that's what this is all about. So let's pray for those and bless your new life in Christ. So pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping me recognize that I need you. Please direct my steps and help me to realize the potential I can have with a new life as you, as my Savior. Amen. I bless that. Bless that in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo. Amen. So if you raised your hand, go to